You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Really, Riley?
Are you ready?
This is the Really Riley Podcast. Woo!
Well, hello, beloveds. That did not start off very well because I wanted to start this podcast holding my Howlite crystal and then I just dropped it. So hang on one sec. Okay. All right. You guys might have clued into the fact that I might be a little nervous right this second. So I am going to say, hey, how do you do? To those of you that are new to this here podcast, Really Riley is a podcast that was born almost 6 years ago where I was in a place I wanted to connect with you guys more. I wanted to be very, very real. You know, I'd been a radio personality, a media personality, influencer for the better part of 20 years, basically my whole adult life. And I wanted to say some things that you kind of can't say on the air. You know what I mean? You don't want to get the FCC after you. And I wanted just to be more free form and just get into things with life. So this is the place where I like to be very real. I like to make you laugh. I like to be very raw. Sometimes I make you cry. Sometimes I make you go, what the hell did that girl just say? But then you think, I probably would have said it too, just not out loud. Anywho's of bees, this is a very special podcast because I have a very special guest on the show, I guess we're calling it now, with me. I want to preface this podcast with this. When I decided to continue this podcast, it's kind of like version 2.0 of Really Riley for you OGs that have been around for a while. I wanted to be even more real than I was before, as real as possible, and just be very open about things that, again, sometimes people are like, did that girl really just go there? And my very special guest is a lady that doesn't necessarily love to be put in the spotlight when it comes to feelings. It's not her favorite thing to revisit the past. It's not her favorite thing to go here with some of these things, but I promise it's going to be fun. And I pray that y'all are going to get something out of it. And that, you know, it'll be even better for me and this here co-host today. Everybody, this is my mom, Mama Alice. Hi, Mama.
Hi.
So I had Mama Alice on the podcast a couple of times. I remember the very first time I interviewed her. It's one of my favorite podcasts to date. You're going to have to go way back in the archives, because it's like 4 or 5 years ago, where I interviewed her about being the OG single mama, because she was just like me. And it's funny because I follow in my mom's footsteps in so many ways. It's not even funny, including that single momdom. But in many of those ways that I follow her in, as much as I don't want to admit it sometimes, it's made me a better person. So we've started it off that way, Mom. See, I'm not going to bite you. It's going to be okay. I hope you're at least kind of smiling over there a little bit.
A little bit.
Well, remains to be seen. Okay. So the last time that I had her on the podcast, I don't think the podcast went to shit, but I think that a lot of things were said or a lot of things were touched upon that didn't exactly help our relationship. It wasn't that great, right? Mom?
It wasn't the best.
Yeah. Like, we weren't in a great place, and doing a podcast then, I don't want to say that we weren't honest, because I think we were. I think there were just a few like little subtle jabs that only you and I would ever know were there. And then it kind of snowballed around for a couple of years. So, you know, in not a great way. I did a podcast, a couple of things about, you know, like toxic relationships, about can you ever cut off family? Can you just like walk away from people in your lives that are not good for your well-being, or what is that, Mom, you say that they're not serving you?
Yes.
Okay. So, woo. Okay. Yeah. I like to go here, friends. Throughout my life, my mom, good, bad, or indifferent, has always been one of the closest people to me. That would be fair, right?
Yes.
Whether we're fighting or whether we're...
You always come back.
Oh, well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. We're going to get there. Mom, it's a tease. Don't put it all out there just yet. Let them wonder. Are you going to cry?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay. My mom has always been the person that no matter what space we're in, even if we're in a shitty ass place, even if I'm like just calling her to scream at her, I do always come back. And there is a space recently or not recently within the last couple of years, it's been like the last 2 years, I think, where I didn't come back really that much. And I think for our purposes of repairing our relationship, I don't think I'm going to go too far into those because I don't really want to. We're in this manifestation phase where everything's good and I don't want to recycle all of that. But I will say it was shitty. It was shitty because I think that coming where our relationship always was, throughout the stages of my life, there was never a time where I considered like being done with my mother. And I don't necessarily think I could have ever like fully been done, but I meant like the relationship where it was that I would tell her everything. I would call her 3, 4, 5 times. How many times a day do you think we would talk, Mom?
At least twice.
At least twice a day. Like in the morning, like whatever. Like if there was something big that would happen, if, you know, like there was nothing that happened that she didn't know first. You're like, you know, before I got married, you were the first person I would call for anything. So when the shit happened and the shitty times happened, it was really bad. And I was basically in the space where I was like, this can't, just because I don't come from the school of thought that just because you're family, all things go. Just because you're blood, all things are okay. And you know what's funny, Mom? You're going to laugh at this. Tonight when I was giving Lyric a bath, he's 7, friends, 7 years old. For those of you that are new here, Lyric is my oldest. He's 7. And then I have a younger son, Malin, who just turned 2 and we had his birthday party today. He said to me, he goes, Mom, he's so smart. He goes, I just have a question. I was like, what? He said, well, Mommy, I just don't understand why it is that it's okay for you to get a little bit more aggressive with Grandma Allie than she gets with you if she's the mom. I was like, fuck. Shit. Okay, well, I explained to him, I said, well, baby, because he picks up on everything. This might not have been like an incident. It's a tone. It's a look, because that kid knows me better than anybody. I guess you could say that our relationship will probably blossom to the same that yours and mine is, Mom. But I just explained to him, and I still go by this school of thought. And this, you know, this might get some, you might come at me for this one, but I do still feel as though when you reach a certain age, I'm a grown ass woman. I'm 41 years old. I am a professional. I'm a successful human being. I'd like to think I'm a good person. Do you think I'm a good person still, Mom?
You've always been a good person. It's just you get very passionate and overwhelmed with what you're going through.
I would agree. But I would also agree that I'm more and more like you in that way than you think. I am my mother's daughter. But this isn't like a jab slinging thing. I'm just keeping it very real with my feelings. You're going to keep it very real with yours. And we're going to hopefully share some really good memories in this. But it was eye opening to hear that because, yeah, it's true. Like, I'm teaching my son, like, I'm your mother. You're going to respect me. But I told him the difference is right now is, kid, you're 7. When you are old enough to pay for your own life, that I'm not taking care of your every move, that I'm not still wiping your ass and giving you a bath, you're going to respect me to that point. So I want to kind of do this just to go down the timeline of my mom and I's relationship because it wasn't always shit. It wasn't always like fighting and meh, meh, meh. Or at least I don't think it was it?
No.
So let's do this. We, a little bit later in the podcast, are going to have questions for each other. I told my mom to write down 3 questions, anything she wants to ask me, doesn't matter what it is. And I did the same. And she actually doesn't usually like to have homework, but you were writing it down very furiously over there. So I'm kind of like, cool. Mom, the fact that you were writing
it, vanilla.
Oh, that's okay. Look, this is real. This is what you wanted to ask. So answer me this. I was your second born child. My sister is 4 years older than me. Erica was planned or no?
Yes.
Erica was definitely like, you wanted a baby. You wanted to be a mom.
You were both planned.
But what did you tell me about, maybe jokingly, why you had a second when I was born?
No, I wasn't joking.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, what were you going to say?
We're being real.
No,
right?
I know. Go ahead.
I was in a situation with a marriage that
was horrible.
Was not the best.
Mom, it was horrible. I'm, all right, you don't want to touch that. All right.
So I didn't want your sister to be an only child. I really, truly did not want her to be just, I didn't feel complete. I didn't think the family was complete.
Okay.
So that's why you were born. I always thought I would just have one child, but it
really? I don't think I've ever heard you say that.
Well, you're putting me out
no,
there.
No, I know. Mom, it's all fine. It's good that I'm like, damn, okay.
I never wanted a big family.
Wow.
And it was maybe because of the person I was with.
Yeah.
I didn't want a big family.
This is my sperm donor we're talking about, friends.
May he rest in peace wherever
you can say that.
The
I won't.
Hell he is. Anyway.
Freudian slip.
You've asked and
yeah.
That's my answer.
Okay. So when I came around, how would you feel like you were as a mom? Because you guys, I have had no like bones about sharing the fact that when Lyric was born, I did not like motherhood. I went through horrible postpartum. I don't think I bonded with my baby until he was like 8 months old, where I was like, oh, okay, I kind of love this mom thing. No, I didn't. I hated being pregnant. I have been very open about this on the podcast. You can go back in the archives and listen to some of that because I'm just very real about it. Do I love my children? Would I have done anything for them from the day that they were born? Wow, mom. It was because I didn't like my situation very much either when he was born. We were too much alike. But I wasn't very into motherhood at first. Not that I wasn't into motherhood. I loved him. It was hard. It wasn't like this joyous, oh my God, I'm loving every moment. And I don't really know if it ever is for anybody. But when I came around, how'd you feel? Like when I was younger, like what was babydom like with little tiny Riley?
I was more relaxed.
Really?
Because with the first, you want to do everything to the T. With your sister was, I read books on how much food I should feed her, the ounces and the this and the that, and how much you should hold them or not hold them, let them cry, not cry. With you, it was like, you know what? I want to hold her. She doesn't want to eat, she eats.
I'm not mad at that though. Like, and it's funny because I hear you say this and that's so not you. Like to read all these books and to do everything, but she's a very measure with your heart kind of person. You know, like she gets it done, but it's never like that OCD in that sense.
Riley in this case.
We all know my name's Raquel. My mother's one of the only people that doesn't call me Riley. So if she slips, there you go. So most of you guys know that, but yes.
She thinks she knows me. But
no, I don't. That's what I'm saying. I don't. I only speak from the you I know. Like the you I know is like mom. I don't know you like that. No lie, y'all. Like she'll tell me shit that I'm like, who are you? Like I don't know. I don't know you at that level. Like I don't know who like single Alice was. I don't know who like.
Well, I don't think you know the past and I don't think.
Because you don't talk about it. You don't like to.
In pieces.
It's never been a comfortable thing for you. Your whole motto is I don't live in the past. I don't go to the past. So when I hear these things, but I'm like, who are you?
I try to go to the past for the good things because that's just where I want to be.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not one person. One thing that we disagree or we try now to agree to disagree and be more respectful of each other.
My whole thinking of this whole thing that she's talking about is like when we have problems that stem from the past, it's because she don't want to talk about it. Don't like you're in the past, you're living in the past. And I always say, I can't heal. And we're different in this way. And that's okay. I can't heal unless I get to be heard, whether you agree with me or not. It's not ideal meal. Da, 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 da. Like I will harbor it that way. So for me to heal, I have to feel it or I'll feel it later. And just FYI, mom, I'm not cutting you off. It's just the listeners don't know the inside of what we're saying. So I'm trying to give the backstory here. I'm not like not allowing you to speak. So baby Riley, what was that like? It was easy. Like you liked having a second child. Were you like, oh shit, what did I just do? Why did I birth another human?
No, not at all. You were lovable where your sister was. Don't touch me. I'm going to walk at 10 and a half months.
Oh shit. We're still like that.
you walked at 15 and a half. So I had to carry you all over the place.
I was chonky.
This kid did not crawl. So all of a sudden she starts walking at 16 months. And so she was literally tied to my hip till she was 16 months. And that's, I think, a connection that we had that
shit,
I didn't
have it stayed
with,
that way
with her sister. So they were totally different kids. And I'm sure everybody can relate that to mom out there. You know, you try to raise them the same way, but they're going to have their own mind, their own passion, their own likes and dislikes. As a mom, I think also, even if you don't want to admit it, they're different. You're going to treat them different.
Oh, she's trying to say this conversation that we had the other day, which I believe is true. You've never said this, and you probably to your grave never will. There are such a thing as favorites. there are such a thing as favorites. But I made this point to her the other day that I think you understood. You have favorites that ebb and flow. You have these favorites that are like for certain times and for certain seasons, they're your favorite because you guys are just on the same wavelength. Like for a while, even when Malin was born, Lyric was my favorite because he was my OG baby. He was the person that made me who I am today. We went through some shit together and it was just me and him. I was a single mom up until I was three. It was literally me doing everything, paying for everything, wiping every ass, like nobody helping me. I had no family around. It was me and him. So it was like, we had that bond. Like this is so weird, mom. Like I was tied to your hip. Same thing with me and Lyric. But then Malin became my favorite for a little while, even though he's only two, because it was like I didn't know what that was to have a baby in love. I didn't know what that felt to create something and have, he was my fiance at the time, he's my husband now, like someone you love touch your belly and watch them hold their child for the first time. I didn't get all that. So yes, you treat them differently. And we'll say for a good chunk of time, me and you were on the same wavelength, like more than me and you and Erica, because she won't say that, I will. Because, well, let's go into this part of my life because I think this is what stemmed it. Like, what would you say our relationship was from the ages of like 5 to 11?
And you
in the mic,
this,
mom.
You know this till you were almost 14.
5 to 11. Hold okay, on, I have a method here, mom. Okay. I'm going somewhere.
So let's say 5 to 11. She did not have many friends. We would go to the mall together. And if she did, let me back that up. She had friends. You had friends, but you chose to be around me.
Mm-hmm.
You would tell your friends, I'm going to be with my mom. And your friends would be like, what? You want to be with your mom? Yeah, we're going to go shopping. We're going to go to lunch. And her sister, they're 4 years
apart. Well, we can leave Erica out of it.
But I'm saying you were already, she was older. So you were at 11, you wanted to still hang out with me.
But you never had that relationship with her. Anyway, we can leave Erica out of this because it's not about her. But right. And it's not a bad way. It's just we're trying to go with the storyline of me and you.
Right.
So you used to always call me your faithful companion because I did. I wanted to be with my mom. I got into ballet. I was a ballerina for like 10 years. Something like that. And I don't know what you would call it, competitive ballet. I don't know. I did one professional, air quotes, play, but it was, what was it? Two, three nights a week. I don't know. All of the practices, all of the recitals, all of the things. My mom and I went through that together and you loved it because you were a ballerina too. Like I just wanted to be like my mom. I wanted to make her proud. And it was something that, oh man, this made me cry. The other day, Marshall and I did this wedding. It was like a couples questionnaire, like a game. And it said like, when in your childhood did you feel the most special? And it still makes me want to cry today, you know, given that a couple months ago, I lost my career as I knew it. And it was the most devastating thing ever. And I said, my answer was on a stage because I had felt the most love and adoration and beaming ass pride from my mother. And here's the thing. This could be a good thing or a bad thing about my mama. And I think I do that. I am Marshall. My husband tells me I'm this way too. She's a very good barometer for if something is crap or not, because she has zero bones about not sometimes so softly telling you that it looks like shit or whatever the word you want to use. You're very forward about that.
As Alicia would say,
Alicia is my niece.
My first grandbaby. She said, I'm passive aggressive, and where I say something and I try to say it very nicely, but I'm still aggressive about it. So
I think you're nicer with her than you are with me and Erica, but I guess that's the grandbaby syndrome. Again, we're not talking about that. So you would say that our relationship from 5 to 11 was really close knit. It was fun and it was good and I didn't get in trouble very often. I don't remember that. Like I did my chores like a good girl. Like
no, I think you didn't get into trouble till later on.
We're going to get there. So I guess, yeah, we could go there now. You would say my relationship with you from, okay, you said it was good till I was 14. From 14 to 20, let's say, what was it like?
Can we narrow that down from 14 to about 17, 18?
Okay.
Because 20.
Well, let's just, all right, 14, 18. Let's do that.
Yeah. That was hell.
Why would you say that was hell?
Because you got into so much trouble and you were not wanting to go to school. And in between that.
Mike, Mom, Mike.
And I don't want to make excuses because behavior is behavior, but there were some obstacles that we had. The stepdad passed away, and that year that was trying to just get her to graduate from high school, not because she wasn't intelligent. She just didn't want to sit in a classroom.
I think that was the most frustrating thing, is that I was very intelligent. I just wasn't there.
Everyone wanted her to graduate, so I think that was the worst year that I went through.
But what about the younger ages of the teens, like 14, 15, 16?
Well, I remember when you went from the baggy stage of clothing, and I'm like, oh my gosh, the baggy pants.
She's still on these damn baggy pants.
Yes.
She's still on them. Oh my God. Yes, 20 years later, she's still on these freaking baggy jeans.
I hated those baggy pants.
That's why it was horrible.
No, hold on. I thought that was bad till then you started wearing the little skirts and the little tops. And I'm like, can you go back to the baggy pants?
But isn't
please?
That like normal teenage shit? That's normal teenage shit.
Yeah, but it was drastic. It was like.
That's normal teenage shit.
Okay.
Have you seen what teenagers are wearing right now?
Your sister didn't do that. So, and I'm not going back to your sister, but that
was
drastic.
Don't need to talk. Yeah, okay. Erica's not me.
Exactly. So it was kind of shocking that it went from black to white. Yeah.
So I'm trying really hard not to like lead you. Because I want to hear from your perspective and your memory and what it was.
Well, so that was one of the memories was, that was the start of your rebelliousness is what I'm going to say. So the clothing went along with the start of the rebellions, being rebellious and the sneaking out, which I was
a lot.
In denial till I caught her.
Were you really in denial though?
I was. I never thought that you were sneaking out. Man, I must have slept well back then because I did not hear you sneak out.
So here's the things that I remember. Like, and I don't know if you're being like kind or holding it back of how I used to get in trouble because she put it a lot prettier than I would have. 14 years old, I got my first boyfriend and we were together for like 2 years and that breakup was fucking hard. That breakup sucked. He broke my heart. I went crazy. I like was so brokenhearted. My stepfather was sick with cancer at the time. So what? He wasn't sick with cancer at the time?
Not at 14. You were around 16.
So, but I'm saying 14 to 16 because I was dating Adam up until my first boyfriend, 14 to 16. So 16, whatever.
Okay.
So, but shit didn't go bad in my mind until I was 16. Because that's when the breakup happened. That was the first time I ever went out and got drunk with my friends and threw up at a bush. And I didn't have guidance with that. As you know, this is no disrespect, Mom. This is true. Like you weren't the greatest at like guiding through those emotions. Because in my mind, that's not what you did in your family. Like that wasn't something you sat down. Puerto Rican Catholic in the 50s, friends. Like you didn't do that. It wasn't like everything is now where you have a self-help book and you have Pinterest that you can look up or TikTok or whatever. It wasn't that way. So you did the best with what you had. But in my teenagedom, I was doing the best with what I had. I was going out, escaping, sneaking out, getting drunk, doing drugs. And that's how I handled it. That's how I handled heartbreak. Because my father, my stepfather was absolutely not, he was a dirtbag in that era. He was dying, but I don't give it an excuse. That sounds really harsh. I don't give it an excuse because of the things that were done. And that's another time, another place. But I do think that towards the end of those years, like remember how I said before, like I need to heal from things. I need to like be heard and heal from it. I didn't heal from it. I masked it with partying and sneaking out and whatever else. So then, 18 years old, that was a really shitty year for everybody.
Yeah. Well, at that point, he's deceased.
He died.
And you were working for Hooters and Wing House.
Wing House is just like Hooters. It's just in Florida. It's just a chain there.
So, and that wasn't, I mean.
There's nothing wrong with working at Hooters, though, by the way. That taught me a lot about what I did today, no lie.
But it was.
You didn't approve.
Stepping stone for growing up.
Really?
For you, you had to humble yourself.
What do you mean?
Because you were having to deal with people. I mean, I felt like the industry helped you to learn about people.
That is the first time I've ever heard you that. I say that. You hated Hooters.
Oh,
you
yeah.
hated that shit.
I
so
did.
For you to say now
but
that that taught me about people is like.
I didn't like you working there at all.
You hated that shit.
But for everything happens for a reason.
I agree. Like, but then.
I tell everyone that.
Now. Then
yeah,
you
then
were
I,
so pissed when
yeah,
I did that.
I didn't
like
see that back then.
Right. No, I'm talking about like the perspective from then. Like, because I'm just talking about how. The ebbs and flows of how our relationship came to be. Mm-hmm. So the way I saw it is after my stepfather passed away, my first stepfather passed away, I was very lost because he was a person that I hated. He was a person in my mind that he was evil. And when he passed away, I didn't know where to put those feelings because I wanted to compartmentalize and think of good things that, oh, he taught me how to drive a car. He bought me my first little diamond ring ever. He, you know, I wanted to be a daddy's girl and he was semi my daddy or whatever. So it was weird to, I don't know, to process that. So 18 sucked. But then you met Matt, my dad, he's been around, he's like my dad. He's Lyric's named after him, his middle name. They've been 17 years you've been married. 19. Jeez. I'm getting old. You met Matt and I liked Matt right away. There was nothing because she dated this one dude before him for a hot minute because my mom was hot and whatever she can. Oh, he was such an asshole. And he tried to be sassy with me in my mom's house, sitting in my stepfather's chair and that didn't go well. I read him. Like, who the fuck do you think you're talking to, friend?
Well, it didn't last long.
No.
I got with the program.
Listen, you had your transition, I'll call it. Whatever. Matt, I loved from jump. Matt's always been like, all right, you good. And just like my mom, I will tell you about it in not so nice of a way if I don't like it. But what do you think those years were? Like 18 to like 22?
I think when Matt came along. You moved in with us and things.
You
want to
tell that story?
Huh?
You want to tell that part of the story?
Well, you moved in, but
no.
Later on, after about a year of moving in, and you were.
I didn't move in. Hold on, back up. We got to tell it for real. You had a home.
Right.
That was your home. That was our home. It was the home that I grew up in.
Right.
And then you and Matt decided you were going to be together. I think you were talking marriage at that point. And he and you wanted to buy a house. So it wasn't like y'all had something and I moved in with you because I'd been living somewhere else.
No, of course not.
You were moving out of our childhood home into a home with him and you guys allowed me to live with you.
Yes.
But that was more Matt's decision than hers.
So.
Fair.
Oh, yeah. So if I'll go ahead and.
Yeah.
Because this is a big part of you growing, I think.
Oh, well, don't go there yet. Hold on. Yes, I know where you're going. But before that, the years before that pivotal moment that most of y'all have heard this story, we'll go there. What do you think the ages from 18 before that big pivotal moment you're about to go to were like? Is it fair to say they were calm? Is it fair to say we went a little bit back towards what we were when I was your faithful companion?
I think, like I said, when Matt came in, I think things calmed down. I don't know why. I think I was calmer. And things were better for everyone, I thought. I mean, your sister moved back home before Matt and I. You know, I think, you know, everything happens for a reason. When I was married to Jeff, things were very stressful for everyone. And Matt came in about a year and a half after Jeff passed away, which it was soon. But for me, it was the right timing.
I don't believe in timelines and all that shit. It was so bad for all of us that I didn't give a damn. I never said it was too quick ever. Little Miss that got engaged after 6 months. Like, I don't That was never anything. I don't care who says that was quick.
There was no rush for us.
People can fuck off if they had a problem with it. They're 19 years later, they did okay.
Well, in answer to your question, how were things between 18 and 20? I think they were good. So, I think they kind of went back to some normal.
I don't remember anything being bad. I remember like me and Matt being buddies. I remember he called me and asked me if it was okay to marry my mom. And we designed the engagement ring together. You guys that have heard my Show Me Your Ring segment, it's coming back by the ways, but the love of jewelry happened a long ass time ago. So he knew where to come. And, you know, I'll never forget that moment. We were in the jewelry store and he was deciding between one carat size and another. And he was like, what do you think? And I looked at him and kind of pushed towards the bigger one, but I bonded with him from jump. So I think me bonding with him did strengthen our relationship. Me and you. I think that it made
that's
things.
Fair to say.
He was a buffer.
Yeah.
He was a very positive buffer. And he was always very respectful of me being your daughter, but yet I was an adult. I wasn't a kid. Mm-hmm. And that always helped. Mm-hmm. The moment that she's trying to get at, the pivotal moment, you go first.
So Riley was acting like she was going to school and we're paying for school.
They were paying for it. Yeah.
St. Pete College.
I was going to school.
Okay.
I wasn't doing shit in school, but I was going.
So she was there, I guess, physically sometimes, but for the most part on my couch and sleeping and just drinking and doing whatever she wanted to do. And I told Matt, she's getting the hell out of our house. I yanked the blanket off of that you were on that couch. And I said, you're leaving. You're out of here. You're better than what you're doing. You're my daughter and I'm not going to put up with it. I remember saying, what the hell are you doing with your life? Because it's not good. I finally realized she was not in a good place and I was ready to kick her out because she was already 20. You were 21.
I was older than that. I was like 23, maybe 24. Mom, it was 2004 when I got in radio.
That's when Matt and I got married.
It was 2004. So I was
somewhere.
Do the math. I was born in 1981.
Okay. Matt said, we can't do that to her.
Yeah.
We have to make sure that she's okay. What is she going to do? She's going to go out in the streets. You're going to kick her out. And what's going to happen? We will make sure that she's okay. She's going through some shit that we have to understand. And she'll be okay. We just have to understand where she's at right now.
I think it's important to note that Matt's not a parent. He never wanted kids. He's a good-hearted man, but it's not like he was a father and knew this, how to deal with this. Like, mom, in my opinion, never wanted me to move in with them. Never. Like, she was ready to move on. She was ready to get married and move on with her life. Okay, fine. I was 18 years old. That's her right. I was going to school, but not really going to school. I wasn't feeling passionate about it. I was, like, in school trying to figure it out. I was doing sign language interpreting for all things. Good God. But I wasn't doing that. I was spending her dime and living on her food. So I understand being upset. It was just, the verbiage was different. You did. You came in and you said, you're my daughter. You're better than this. Get the fuck out. You said you have
trying to be nice.
But we're being real here. Yeah. You're saying, you said, get the fuck out. And you said you were going to get married. You guys went away to Jamaica to get married. And you said, you have a month. You have a month to figure your shit out. And then you have to get out. And I went, oh, fuck. But here's the thing about me. I was very lost in that time too. I was going clubbing all the time. I was doing a lot of drugs. I was very lost that time as well. If you guys were wondering why I was lost, because nobody's mentioned it yet. My second big relationship of my life, the guy that I was with for 4 years, we broke up. He broke up with me and I was brokenhearted and I didn't give a fuck about anything in life. We were very close. I was his first love, you know, like, his mom had passed away in the time of our relationship. So then there and my stepfather had passed away during the time of our relationship. He was a pallbearer at my stepfather's funeral. Like, he was my touchstone and he was gone. So I was, again, going through this. And because I didn't feel comfy with getting guidance from my mom, and who am I going to ask? My new pseudo stepfather, because they weren't married yet. So I was going out. I was doing drugs. I was doing the same pattern. I was doing the same thing. If you guys know me at all, if you've listened to me on radio or if you listen to this podcast, like, I am two things. Back me into a corner and I swing. I don't cower. I don't give up on anything. And I think that was the very first time that I was like, instead of, oh my God, I was like, all right, fine. Fuck it. Let's go. Let's do this. So I was like, well, what do I want to do? I don't want, mom always said I should do TV. Mom always said I should be on the, and you know, whatever, like on like a newscast. I was like, I don't want to do that. And I was like, but I do like music a lot. I love music. I was like, well, what the fuck am I going to do? Like, okay, well, maybe radio. Maybe. So I did some research on the Google and I found this shitty ass little, we won't leave the name out because I don't even know if that was legal then. This little broadcasters like thing where you, they hand you a booklet. Whoever wants to pay for it, in this case, it was my mom, pays $5,000. and I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to do radio. And I picked, well, I'll go there in a second. When she came home, I was like, all right, mom, I figured it out. This is what I want to do. You weren't down. You were not down.
Not at first. No.
You were not down. Like, I was asking for her another $5,000. And finally, when I got her to agree to it, she said, this is the last fucking $5,000 I'm giving you. And she insisted upon calling this dude from said training network. And you said what?
I asked three questions.
Yeah.
I said, okay, how much money is she going to be making? What are the chances of her making it in radio? And how is she going to get there? And the answers were, well, she'll probably make about, maybe if she's lucky, $15 an hour. Mm.
It was that for a while.
And I said, the second question that was answered, they said maybe 8 to 10% of people that go into that, they were very honest.
Yeah,
said,
it's true still,
maybe
though.
Maybe 10% will make it in the industry and make any money at all.
Wow.
And thirdly was that I asked, how is she going to make it? And she said, well, she's kind of on her own.
He said something like, she'll get out of it what she puts into it.
Exactly.
Ha, it's like the fucking mantra for my life now. Everything does happen for a reason. So you came home with that and I was like, all right, we're going to do this. I get there and you guys that are in the DMV area or you guys that know radio, Toby Knapp was my very first mentor. Like, he was the one that agreed to help with everything and, you know, to kind of shadow me. And he was leaving. Like, I showed up there and he had gotten another job somewhere else. So then I got turned over to, may he rest in peace, Kane. And the rest was history. And when I say that, it was the first time I walked through those doors, I was in love immediately. It was everything. It was do or die. It was, there is no fucking way in hell I am going to fail at this. And not because I would be thrown out on the streets. It was because.
You were wanting to prove yourself.
Not to you.
Not to me. I said to you.
It wasn't
you
really about
to
proof.
Prove
it, no, no. It wasn't about proof. Because I didn't have that mindset of like proving anything. It was, this was meant for me. This is it. This is all I ever wanted to do in life. This is it. This is got, it's got to be it. It's this or nothing. So I slept on the radio floor. I did.
The 1 o'clock.
Yeah. Like there was a lot. And I mean, I'm not going to go into all that right now. Cause I think you guys have heard this story a little bit. Cause it's about me and my mom, but you know, she and Matt would go to these, like to drive me to these, there's a reason for this, but we'll get into it later, would drive me to these things and drive me to the clubs and drive me to do my 2 a.m. shifts overnight. Cause once I finally started doing it, my mom was like, oh, fuck, okay, she's good at this. So I think the first time you heard my air track, we were like, oh, my God, because I was good. It was meant for me. It was just destined. I don't say that to be pompous because I have been kind of good at things throughout my life. I was amazing at ballet. I just didn't fucking try. I was good at a lot of things. I just put no effort because I wasn't, like, into it. It wasn't my thing. I was, but another time, another podcast, people. So I was leaving and it happened really fast. It was like a year, not even. And I'll never forget when I was leaving that you started to bawl. You started to cry because it was very soon. I was leaving to Michigan knowing no one. And
co-host all of a sudden.
Yeah, I was a co-host at morning radio. Boom. Okay, with your 8%, people don't make it. It was destined.
After about a year.
Not even. It was like 10 months.
Yeah.
It was nuts. And when I think about that now, I was like, that's nuts. I think I'd been on air like 4 times.
I wanted her to leave home, but not the state. I was like, what is happening here? And we had just gotten home from another vacation and you're packing up.
No, you just got married. You just got married.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. I just know that we were on.
You weren't ready for that.
And you're getting home and you rented a U-Haul and you're like, well, I'm leaving. I'm like, this isn't happening this way. I'm going to get you there. I'm going to make sure you're okay.
I forgot
okay.
about the U-Haul. I had done it myself. Yeah, I'm sitting here laughing because there would have never been. Riley getting a U-Haul. That would never, ever.
Yep.
Nope. Yep. Nope. I was like, all right.
You're going to drive your shitty ass car.
I was going to do it.
That car isn't going to get you there.
I was ready. I was like, we're going to fucking do it. Let's go. But once you saw I was doing it, you know, mama came to rescue and took me there. But we're not going to go too far into this whole radio journey because of the fact that we could be here for hours. But maybe one day we will. Maybe there'll be another part 16 because there's a lot. Mom, I'm getting there. Calm down. So she said something to me in all of this that was a very pivotal moment that I've held on into all the times that I've wanted to choke her, like right now when you're telling me to hurry up. She gave me a hug when she was leaving me in Michigan in the damn cold and the snow, and she said, hold on to this hug. She gave me the biggest hug she's ever given me in her life. And I held on to that forever. Whew, I'm going to cry my eyelashes off. And that's one of the biggest reasons why I always came back. Because my mom is also passionate like me, nurturing, but when in her way. Same way radio, you got to warm her up and she's got to get in there. So through all of that shit that we went through and through all the times that I wanted to cut her off and just be done. And I'm sure her with me too, but then it was like I had kids and all that stuff. I came back to the realization that like, if there can be that hug and more of that, you know, because a lot of people would ask me like, why would you come back? Like after all this drama and all of these things that you guys went through and these turmoils and a lot of the things that have hurt. And I know probably you're like, wait a minute, you're leaving some shit out. You have some gaps here. But I'm like, right now in this space, after I would say almost 2 years of maybe talking once a month, if that, and a lot of those were screaming matches, my son just turned 2. My life has turned around. I just lost my dog. And I'm in this space where I have been presented with what really matters. And it's my mom. You never let go of your mom. Or at least I don't. And I think after a lot of years, you have heard me in the things that I needed from you. Because going back to what my son said in the beginning of this podcast of like, okay, well, why do you get to get aggressive with Grandma Allie? I'm like, well, because I'm an adult now. I'm a full-on person. So for me, respect has to be mutual for it to work. And I think now, after a lot of screaming and a lot of fighting and a lot of not talking, I think now you've heard me. And I think maybe now you hopefully understand a little more that I always wanted the olive branch to be there. Just it couldn't be where it was. It couldn't stay where it was. We couldn't stay in that loop because it wasn't helpful for my mental health or my children or you or my husband or anything. You okay? Yeah.
I think time heals and sometimes
time and effort.
Yes. And sometimes letting go and letting things fall into place. That's where I'm at right now, and understanding, and that time that we weren't speaking to each other gave me the time to think about the things that I might have said that were hurtful and vice versa. And like you said, what is truly important? I mean, at the end of the day, I would do anything for you. And we want each other in our lives, I think.
Yeah. I don't say this to like stir any pots at all, because you guys know me to be very real and you guys know the things that I say. And I think even in right now, like I'm not a big fan of just let it go. I'm not letting anything go. I think that we have made spaces to heal, and that's why I'm able to move on. But again, we agree to disagree, and that's okay too. Because I used to scream at my mother, I ain't gonna change this woman. She's 67 years old. Looks damn good too. But this little exercise of the questions. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Mine are very vanilla.
So are mine.
So, okay. So let's start with what you love most about Lyric. I mean, I know this.
Oh, but this was supposed to be about me and you. How about what do I love most about you?
Okay.
We can do that.
Okay.
Because we've done podcast after podcast about how much I love him. That, okay. But I'm sorry.
Okay.
Me and you.
Okay.
What do I love most about you? I love that you're a ball buster. You don't like that terminology, but I am very forceful in like the way that I am with, damn it, if I am going to get on something, like if I'm going to, you know, go for something, there's no not going for it. Because you're a person, you're like a dog with a bone when you want something. When you want to find something, you want to go somewhere, or if you want to get on that phone and get that customer service to give you your money back. That's one of my favorite things about you. It's one of your strongest points. I'm not saying that very eloquently, but you're a tough ass cookie. Some of the choices that have forced you to be that tough ass cookie suck. So I kind of don't go there all that much. But as much as I don't want to admit it, it's in the genes. It is. It's in the DNA because
I'm going to get that money back for that cake.
Mm-hmm. I am getting that money back for that cake because I didn't put my sprinkles on it. That's another podcast again, though, friends. But there's that. All right. Next question.
Well, it kind of was Malin and Lyric, but now that you've clarified.
Okay.
So three questions to ask you, man.
You want me to go and you can think, or do you have another one?
No.
Mom, on the mic.
Oh, okay. So what was your proudest moment of me being your mom? So what are you most proud of me?
Oh, shit. Okay. I don't know if I want to tell that one.
Okay.
Because I don't know how you're going to feel about it.
Okay, so skip over it.
No, I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell it in a very PC manner. My proudest moment of you was when I was 18 years old and my stepfather was dying. And we're not going to go into a lot of the who's, why's, when's, whodunits, but it was bad. And all my sister and I wanted was for my mom to leave him because it was that bad. And I'm going to breathe. And you'd gotten a apartment and you'd gotten everything set up to go. You'd pay the down payment. Everything was ready. We were going. We were leaving. This nightmare was over. And you didn't. And I remember being 17, 16, 17, 18, whatever it was. Breathe, Riley. And you backed out. You said, we're not going to go. And I was so fucking mad at you. I was so mad at you because I was like, how could you do this? How could you stay? How could you were told we were going to leave, we were going to go. I was so fucking mad. But he was dying. And you said, I can't leave him like that. At one point you said, I do. You said, till death do us part. You said, I can't leave like that. I can't. He's dying. I can't leave like that. Phew. And I didn't get it at the time. But today I get it. So that's probably the proudest.
Wow. I didn't think that would be.
We're learning all kinds of new shit, aren't we?
I remember you mentioning it, but I don't know how proud I was of myself because I felt I was letting you guys down because you didn't understand it at the time. And it just didn't, I couldn't do that. I wouldn't have
been. He was dying. He died like a month later, I think. He was almost gone. Like, he would have had nobody.
He didn't last that much longer.
He would have had nobody, you know? So I've made my peace with him, which is weird because I don't easily make my peace with stuff. But then again, it was 20 years ago. But proudest moment. Okay. Are you able to do the last one?
What do you dislike about me?
Control. And I say this being a very particular person. I don't like that a lot of times when somebody has like a big thing going on, you want to be involved, but your way of involvement kind of engulfs it and kind of like takes over it a little bit. So like I don't think your intention is malice. I just think that sometimes you don't read the room and sometimes you'll like take that joy from that moment from somebody else that should be theirs. Like, you should just be over here on the sidelines. And because of the fact that, like, you've always been one that enjoys attention, no shade, I do too, but you'll kind of suck that out of it sometimes. And that's why I don't tell you shit sometimes until you actually are just going to be surprised, because you get so just like into it that sometimes it spoils the surprise for other people. Yeah, that's not a secret to you. No, I don't love that.
You've said that before. I'm working on it.
You are. All right. So you want to hear mine? Mm-hmm. What is your favorite memory of you and I? No matter what age. Any time, any moment.
Oh, I think you know this.
I do. I just want everybody else to know it.
When I cursed you out on that stage because she was screwing up one of the recitals, and it was actually, it wasn't even the rehearsal.
Dress rehearsal.
It was dress rehearsal, and I just wanted to strangle her.
I was like 10, 11?
Yeah. No.
I don't think I was a teenager yet.
New York.
10, 11, 12, something like that.
She was just screwing up up there, and I wanted to just strangle her, and I just shook her, and I said, "You're better than this. What are you doing up there?"
Yeah.
And then again, you tell her she can't. She's going to say, "Watch me."
Yeah.
And she was so mad at me yelling at her that she did absolutely fabulous. One of the other moms came up and said, "Wow,
your daughter's so great.
She's so wonderful." And that was a proud moment. It was bittersweet, but it was a proud moment.
It's sort of like, yeah, that was the beginning, honestly. That was the beginning of the stage of my fuck you, watch me. Like, that kind of thing. Because I remember getting off stage and like the dress rehearsal was so like crazy. And like you didn't have 3 minutes to get, you had to get out of these tights into this tights and move. You had to do all this shit. And I was like, "I don't have time, Mom. I'm not going to get it." And she's just like, "Hey," she was like Medusa. I was like, "Jesus, woman." But if you try me like that, I'm like, all right. Fucking watch this. And I'll never, ever, ever forget her face, because I was like right in the front row and I was doing this. I don't remember.
Jeté.
It was like a gliding moment for those of you that don't know ballet. And I had to like cock my head to the side and do this little like hand movement. And I remember looking at her smiling with the perfect like stage face. And she was just beaming. She was like, it's like, and I was like, yeah, motherfucker, not you. I was just like, aha, you know? So yeah, it propelled me. So. What is your proudest moment with me?
Well, that would be...
That was the proudest? Well, then pick a different favorite.
Okay, let's pick a different favorite.
Really? That's your proudest? When I was 11? Fuck.
No, there's many. I mean, when you did Jingle Ball.
Pick a one. That was a memory, you can tell that. If that was your proudest or your favorite.
I mean, there's been so many. Well, when you went to the Grammys, the picture with you with J-Lo. There's just...
But I'm asking you to give the emotion, Mom.
I was emotional on all
It's not an Instagram post. It's you telling your proudest moment of me. Wow.
We'll have to do another
one. No, now. You're going home. You're going to Florida.
We'll do another podcast.
No, now. Really?
Okay.
Ay, Dios mío. Like, she agreed to this podcast, and now she's saying, I'm done. We're going to do a different one. We have two more questions. If you can make it through we're done.
My proudest moment.
Jesus Christ.
I remember you had the red. Okay. We'll pick the one of Jingle Ball.
That was my very first Jingle Ball ever in Atlanta.
And we came, Matt.
No, that was my second. Anyway.
Matt and I came.
Her husband, Matt.
And it was just... I was in awe. I mean, I was like, that's my daughter up there. That's my daughter up there. So,
was it fair to say that that was your first real life moment of what I did? Because that was, now mind you, Jingle was like 20,000 people. And I had them backstage. They got VIP everything. Like, sure, she'd seen me on stage and at events before, but this was Jingle Ball. This was 20,000 people in an arena. And I was on the stage with that microphone. And I will never forget, I wasn't supposed to do this and almost got in trouble. I didn't fucking care. Because I was like, you guys, if you'll allow me for a second, you got like 30 seconds to intro the next person. I was like, I got to give a big shout out to my mom. I was like, hey, Mom, I made it. Like, who doesn't want that moment?
Yeah. Okay, we'll check that one.
Okay. So I bet you she'll remember this. What was your least proudest moment of me?
I can't say that now.
Yeah, you can. If I have to cut it out, I will.
Your DUI.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can totally say it. I almost brought it up. Which one?
The second one, because that was the one when...
I know, I should have learned my lesson.
Well...
That was the one that almost cost me radio.
Yes, yes. And that was the one when she mentioned earlier about Matt and I having to drive her. I would set my alarm for 1 o'clock in the morning to pick her up in Tampa. That from where we lived was about an hour drive.
That's like 45 minutes.
All right. To get her home, to set the alarm again for me to get up to work. And we did that for a long time.
Like 5 months, 4 months?
It was a long time. And then Matt would give up his lunch to pick her up, to get her to work.
My day job.
Your part-time job. And he did that. And so, yes, that was very challenging. But again, I hope you feel that that was a support system that you had, because without...
To be fair, the first one, oh my God, I was downtown. I was
about the first one.
I'm giving a reference here. The first one, I was downtown Ybor City. I was wasted, and I deserved that shit. Deserved it. This one, I'd had a beer and a half, and I was 98 pounds at the time. And it got dropped, by the way, to a reckless driving. Mm-hmm. Because I had blown actually under the limit. So it's not like I'm condoning it, and it's not like it was okay. And
it's just the circumstances.
Yes,
the timing could not have been worse. And then you were afraid.
I almost lost radio for it because I was leaving.
Yeah.
And if I had got convicted or whatever the word is, I would not have been able to leave. I would have had to, oh God. And it was literally like I had never prayed so hard in my damn life. But again, shout out to Mateo. We might call him, like, it was more Matt that was like, we can't, she's never been so driven and I've already known her. Like, we can't.
Yeah. But I was the one getting up at 1 o'clock.
He did too.
No, he did not.
He did too. Get up. He would get up sometimes at like 4 to take me to some of the things. I know he did.
Okay.
I was there.
All right. You can give him credit.
I don't give him all the credit. I gave him some control. Remember the thing I don't like about you?
Some credit.
Jesus Christ. Okay. She's still my mother. We're still working on this here, but, that was all I had. Was this a little more painless than you thought it was going to be?
It was good.
Thank you, Jesus. I know that you walked into this thinking, God, am I going to leave on this plane again? And it's going to be, we're back 5 years ago. No. So if you guys were to ever ask me, can you ever reignite with family that at one point you said they're toxic, I can't deal with them anymore, it's done, goodbye, peace out. I think you can. We're agreeing to disagree, Mom. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, on Really Riley podcast, I don't think that you can move forward by just letting it go. I don't think that you can just bygones be bygones, forget about it, it's fine. I am very much about faith and forward motion, that if things change and there's just even a little inkling of like, okay, I heard you. And even if I don't like what you said, I'm going to respect you. Especially if you add children into the mix and raising children, because it's a shit show and you do the best you can and you can't have more things like hurting your mental health. All of that. Like I feel as though if you guys listen to me for my advice on this podcast, I have a great responsibility to be very open and honest about my feelings, experiences, also allowing for everyone else's perspective and being respectful of that, like my mom's perspective. So I hope you guys enjoyed Mama Alice on the show. Any last words, Mom?
Good night.
That's it.
Yep.
I thought you were going to come up with something else. You have one catchphrase. Do you want to just tell them? I put on your cup.
Be kind and have courage.
She said it wrong.
I said it wrong.
Have courage and be kind. Mine is we got this. Hers is have courage and be kind. So you guys, thank you so much for listening to Really Riley. You can check me out on Instagram and Facebook at Riley Couture, RileyCouture. Snapchat is Radio Recon, and then TikTok is Riley Couture 7. The email is howbyriley@gmail.com. You guys, I love you long time. I hope you enjoyed it. I will talk to you later on this week. It's Really Riley.